Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lifestream.net podcast. I'm Tim, a.k.a. Ryushikaze, and I'm joined by Carly, Glenn,
Hello.
Gabe, and joining us for the first time is Fangu, a.k.a. Anne.
Hello!
So, today, we're going to be talking about new information from Square Enix, specifically Lightning Returns and the Final Fantasy XII HD Remaster, the top three games of our last generation, any console, not just related to SE, our game of the year, the games we're looking forward to in the next year, and the best console of the last gen, and which of the new consoles we think looks the most promising. So we're just going to get right on in this and talk about Lightning Returns. So we've got a hell of a lot of new information about it, including, you know, even though we talked about it some last time with some of the DLC costumes and the brouhaha over that and the added jiggle physics they added to one of them. But specifically what I want to talk about is the special edition version they're putting out, which is going to cost an extra $20 on top of the game, but come with, if I remember correctly, a soundtrack CD, a fully detailed art book, and a special dress sphere, or whatever the hell they're calling her outfits, in addition to the pre-order bonus. I think that's going to be the only source, at least for a while, for the Aerith dress sphere that they're giving Lightning. So what does everybody think about them adding a special edition to this game? Like, do you think it's worth it, or does it sort of seem like not exactly the right game to put it on? Go ahead.
Did he state that there weren't going to be any DLCs or something?
You know, I don't think they stated... No, because there's definitely going to be at least some DLC. I think
I think it said none for the story.
Yeah, there's going to be no story DLC, but there might be some... I mean, that doesn't preclude them doing, like, bonus mission DLC in addition to these extra costume DLCs.
All right, so that's...
And at least these costume DLCs are actually, like, you know, combat changes.
All right. So that everything that's not like a... It's not like a fight DLC or something.
Yeah, like, it's a new fighting style and costume for her.
Oh, okay. So I saw that it said, like, FF Legends, and I was like, oh, I have ideas.
I'm not sure what else was to be in that. I know the Aeris one, Cloud, Yuna's Final Fantasy X-2 outfit, and that's all I've seen. I don't know if there's going to be more
I think
than that.
That's the only three that they've announced, but it seems unlikely to me that they'd just do those three, even though they two of those make, you know, perfect sense because Lightning's the female Cloud, and her voice actress is also Aerith.
Mm-hmm.
The Yuna one just seems sort of like, we're also releasing Final Fantasy X-2 HD, so that seems an obvious tie-in. They might do a 12 tie-in now that they're doing the HD release there, but you know, it seems likely that they'd be doing more.
I wonder if the go ahead, Carly.
Lightning's voice actress, Ali Hillis, is Aerith?
No. Maya Sakamoto, her Japanese voice actress.
Oh, okay. You know,
sorry, I should have specified.
That would have made Aerith more exciting.
Yeah.
Who was the first Aerith voice actress? Was it
Mandy Moore?
Mandy Moore. She was good.
There was no reason to switch her to Mena Suvari.
It might have just been... Well, actually, no. I mean,
she was more expensive, probably.
Probably, yeah, at the time. And then there's her late...
It's Disney. They have money.
Yeah, no, but they a lot of times they don't like to spend a whole hell of a lot of it if they can't.
So like with the, David Boreanaz, they dropped him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like if they decide to spend money on like an expensive actress, then that has to be because there's some PR into it. Because a lot of cheaper actresses are like just as good. So
yeah,
true. Mena Suvari is not an example, but you are right.
just anyone would be better than Mena Suvari. I mean, Aerith's a great character. Give her a good voice actress.
I still think that Mandy Moore would have been great to have had for the entire time if they were willing to shell out the money, because she's excellent for voice acting. Also, Idina Menzel, but Idina Menzel is just excellent. So, enough of that.
Yeah, but she will probably be expensive.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what I'd love to see? If they ever have to drop Maleficent's voice actress, I would love to see Idina Menzel take her over.
Oh, yes.
For future Kingdom Hearts, because she's got the chops to do it. I mean, this is the woman who put Wicked on the map, pretty much.
Yeah, but...
Enough of that, unless anybody else has anything else to say about, you know, Lightning Return.
No, I just had something on, like, voice actresses. Mm-hmm. While we're on the topic of 10, that game was, when was it made? 2001.
Yeah.
2001.
And now they're doing the HD remaster. So I guess it's still the same voice actors and voice actresses on both the Japanese and the English side is coming back. And has that worked out? I mean,
I think for the most part they're not actually redubbing it. I mean, they might be for some lines to refer to Titus by name in, or Titus by name.
Titus.
Yeah.
Titus.
Yeah, but they're doing this whole extra thing.
Oh, right, that, yeah.
Yeah, little audio drama thing.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to have, like, the entire cast.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be, just going to be Titus and Yuna.
Yeah, for most of it. They'll probably bring Riku in here just because it's Riku and,
yeah.
You know,
and
who can say
Strong.
No to Tara Strong, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just
in fact, I'm just going to go so far as to say replace her Japanese voice actress with Tara Strong. No one will notice. No one will care. Everyone will notice the difference, but they'll think it's an improvement, even if she's just speaking English.
Even better, take out Titus and just leave Riku and Yuna.
And just have that be the romantic pair?
Yeah.
It's a little creepy because they're cousins, but other than that, I'm fine with it.
I didn't know that.
Well, as you all probably know.
That's why Brother and Yuna is so... Brother's crush on Yuna in 2 is so goddamn creepy. Because, remember, Brother is Riku's elder brother, and thus is also Yuna's cousin.
Look, it wasn't creepy for that reason. It was creepy because Brother's a creepy fucking place.
Well, yes, but that just makes it so much worse.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, you can marry your cousin in, like, over half the U.S. states anyway. I mean, that's not a big deal. But
it's still creepy brother, to me, yeah.
Brother is just...
Brother is a creeper, too, and the fact that it's his cousin just makes it worse.
When you're called Brother, you're gonna be down to be a creeper. I mean, he never really got a chance to be anything else.
Sid was trolling that fucker from the moment he was born. We're gonna call this boy Brother.
Yeah,
he's your firstborn. Like, yep, I'm planning on having more.
This is completely off topic, but actually in Sweden, the Swedish word for brother is actually a name.
Huh.
Well, maybe they were thinking about that. Hmm. Who knows?
Yeah, it certainly. I mean, but because his actual name is Brother, not the Japanese word for brother. Yeah.
Yeah, even in Japanese, his name
he's Brother. Brother.
It would be like the same thing if you actually called your brother brother or your child brother.
That's the weird part.
Imagine
it's the fact that Sid also calls him brother. It's not just Riku.
Just imagine Riku presenting him. This is my brother. Brother.
Yeah.
What's the Swedish word, by the way?
Brud.
Oh, pretty. Talk more Swedish, okay?
All right.
That does things for me. Anyway.
You might have to bring it to them for that.
Enough of Glenn getting himself off on the podcast. Let's move to Fangu getting herself off on the podcast and start talking about the Final Fantasy XII HD remake.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes. So is there anything in particular that you want to say about this to lead us off?
Is there one? You're announcing it.
Have they confirmed it?
I don't think they've officially confirmed it. Hold on, let me...
No.
They said it would probably happen if this sold well.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been saying all along. There's a reason they haven't put it on the PlayStation Network yet. Mm. It's just sitting there, and it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to get to PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4 than Final Fantasy X, because they don't really have to do anything with it. It's just sitting there. Everything is just ready. And I guess anyone who has tried emulating the game on their computer instead of playing it on the PlayStation 2 knows how good it looks.
Oh, yeah. No,
how much better it looks.
Everything is ready, including Fangu.
Okay. True.
Fangu's body is very ready.
Very ready.
Yeah. So at the moment, it hasn't been officially confirmed, but it's been very pointedly brought up as a... So what would you do if you did this? Oh, I don't know, Final Fantasy XII? Not that we have a demo ready to show you or anything. No. Did I say that? No, forget that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean,
the 10.10.2 remakes, I'm sure... are gonna do well, and I think the HD remake of 12 is actually not gonna need a whole hell of a lot of effort to do.
Mm.
No, not the same by all. I mean,
because it was already pretty close to HD when it was released, and it actually really upscales really well. It was hardware limitations of the PS2 that held it back.
Compressed it so damn much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really know that much about game technology and game programming, but with 10 and 10.2, they had to, like, I remember from playing 10 that you had, like when you were playing, all the different scenes were set. Like, you couldn't move the camera. In 12, you could move the camera, like, you could see pretty much everything. So that's like, in 10, they had to do a lot of, they had to make a lot of changes to make that port to HD. In 12, it's, the only thing they have to do is, like, minor fixes.
Well, the thing is that the PS3 is, like, notorious for being difficult to work with in making a game. So that's probably what it took Final Fantasy X so long to be ported over. So if they did it for PS4 instead of PS3, probably be a little bit quicker.
But they should do that for 12.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. If they did 12 over to the PS4, it'd probably come out faster than the Final Fantasy X port.
Or just do it for PC, like every other game that's coming out for either.
No!
The next. Well, no, just as well, because every single game that's coming to both the PS4 and the Xbone are coming out for PC, it seems. So
I don't care. PS3, PS4, whatever. Just
PC Master Race, that's all I gotta say.
If they just do it for the PS4, Fang was gonna buy a PS4 right now.
Well, it doesn't really matter. I have a PS3, so. But I mean, it's going to happen. Like, there's no reason they shouldn't do it, because they've been putting out a lot of other FF games. They're doing some kind of thing with 3, I think, right now. 3 or 2? For the iOS or something?
They just released, or not just, but they released Final Fantasy 3 for iOS. They've actually been doing a lot of re-releases. It was the 3D remake for the DS that they released for the iOS, and they cut out, I think they just cut out the Magnet BS.
And didn't Final Fantasy 8 show up on Steam like a week or two ago?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Apparently that was a very big deal.
I bought 8 on the PSN, so I played on my PS3.
Yeah.
So
never been able to get into that game. I know Tress really hates me for that. But
I like breaking that game over my knee. I also love the world it's in. The story, it falls flat. It's not the fact that it's a love story that kills me. It's there are pacing issues. Like, a lot of the plot details are seriously back-ended. Like, the revelation that, you know, Adea was definitely being controlled needed to be a bit more obvious from the get-go. Not, like, immediately, but, like, they figure out, you know, much sooner than they do that, holy shit, we know this woman, she was nothing like this, what's going on, blah, blah, blah.
Wasn't the timing for the game really weird, too? Like, I'm almost positive Disc 1 and 2 actually happened in the course of one day.
Well, the first one happens over the course of about 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Second's unclear. It's really, you can imagine the second one lasted however long you want it to, really, because...
The second one had, well, excepting for, because there are some deliberate gaps in time in the second disc. Like, they floated for about a week, I think, after escaping the rockets.
I don't even think it says that. It just says how long have we been floating, though, like, it's... You know, been happening for a good long while. It sounds like a week.
I mean, it certainly, like, it happens in real time before they go into the time compression. It seems like it happens, like, in even less of a time span than Final Fantasy VII, and everybody thinks that happened really ridiculously quickly.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember how long 9 lasted, but they have a...
9 lasted about 3.5 months.
Yeah, it's in the Ultimania. I haven't looked at it in a while, but it tells you.
That's about what I remember, so.
Ooh, what about 12?
12?
I'm not sure. I don't have the Ultimania for that one.
Yeah, I can't imagine that one would take less than about half a year total.
I'd say, like, within a few weeks.
I mean, not specifically the whole game, but, like, from the opening cutscene to the end of the game.
Oh, the opening cutscene.
Yeah. Because a lot of that happens pretty quickly, I think, and they do have advanced, you know, machinery to ferry them all around, so you can imagine it happening very quickly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of machination that was going on between what we start seeing and what we get thrust into when we're playing as Vaughn.
Yeah,
so,
I want to say from the time you actually start controlling Vaughn, it couldn't have been more than a few weeks at most.
It was probably
less than a month.
A month. On the outset, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But everything all told, you know, from the opening of The Shit Got Stirred, there's a lot of stuff we didn't see. And that was probably on the order of several months of unrest.
Yeah.
And then we basically get, as Van, get jumped into the very end of it.
I think the biggest gap might have been after the explosion on the Leviathan, mm-hmm. the Dusk Shard.
Yeah.
The Dawn Shard. And that's like, I think it says specifically it's like 4 or 5 days or something when the party is back at Ravenaster. I think that's 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest time gap in the whole thing, really.
Yep.
A lot of Final Fantasies take place over a surprisingly short amount of time. Then some take, like, on a surprisingly large amount of time, which there are gaps in there we don't see. Like, 13 takes place over the course of less than a week, and then there's about a month or two of downtime while they're on the Grand Pulse, and then it all just wraps up almost immediately.
Is that how long we were on the...
Depends on how many dinosaurs you kill.
Yeah.
it felt like ages, and I didn't even make it halfway through the game.
But no, there's incidental dialogue about, you know, how long they've been down there, that sort of thing.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, no,
I would stay there forever.
It's nothing that you have to see, I don't even think. It's like something that they expect you to see, but it's actually easy to sort of wander off and miss.
There's a few things like that. Once you get Grand Pulse, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Grand Pulse. Oh,
I hated that place.
I love it.
It's like a timetable, like 13 sub-menus deep and some logs that you can read.
Yeah.
Yeah, like everything else in that game, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, there's a literally 1 week of time right before the game where everything goes to shit that we very slowly get the information on, mostly in the data log and a couple of flashbacks, but...
Pretty sure everything went to shit the moment that game started.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah.
Really?
Carly.
13 is definitely not the best game, but I don't think it's the worst.
No, it's not even close to being the worst.
It has its weaknesses.
Oh, yeah,
like,
certainly.
No doubt about
I like it,
it
better than 9, and that'll probably get me ostracized right
okay,
there.
Okay, now you're in trouble with me, because 9, that is one of the best ones, in my opinion.
9 is very, very good. It just... 13 had a lot of good stuff going it for it, but then somehow they just didn't manage to put it together, and it just doesn't feel like a proper game, you know? It doesn't feel polished.
It feels
polished,
more like a movie than a game. And
it's like what Splinter on TLS said, that the game, it's not that it's so damn linear, it's just that it fails to distract you.
It feels like
other things. While you're doing linear stuff. Because every FF is really linear. It's just like you have, like, sidetracks.
Yeah.
It's that it's literally linear. As opposed to...
Yeah.
Just...
Like, you have to move... Like, the whole graphics thing expects you to move straight forward. So...
And in defense to 13, I think the problems with 13 actually started with Final Fantasy X. So...
But the really cool thing about... I played 13 before playing 12. And it's really awesome to see 13 compared to 12, because I see now what they tried to fix with 13, what they failed with 12. Like, people with 12, they said, okay, it's a really good game, like, gameplay-wise, but you don't have enough story, and you keep forgetting what the story is, because you keep grinding and doing all this awesome stuff. And you get to 13, and they, like, okay, we need
to... They sort of failed in the other direction.
Yeah,
that's just
story
the
wasn't good.
Story, and all of a sudden, then... They focused on stuff that with 13 that they didn't have in 12, and then went wrong in the other direction.
There was very little that I actually enjoyed about 13, and most of it was only Fang. That section with Fang and Lightning alone.
Fang is awesome.
Exactly, and Lightning was really good too. So when there was just them, that was actually.
So basically,
that
what you're saying is that. They need to change Lightning Returns into a Lightning Fang buddy cop movie immediately.
And Sash can be in it too because it was awesome. Everyone else, it wouldn't matter to me if I've never seen them again because none of them did anything to the story. And were awful.
I like Lightning as a lead. I think she's a really good lead.
She was great. I thought she was going to be awful because the comparisons with Cloud, I never liked Cloud. I thought she was going to be awesome. And from the few things that I actually can say good about the game, Lightning was great. I would play another game with her if it wasn't Final Fantasy XIII.
Well, just get Final Fantasy 13 2 and get the DLC with her. And just use her as your commando for the entire game. So I think we've more or less exhausted the Final Fantasy time span. So let's go to what everybody's top three games of the last generation from any platform. I'm going to include PC, and in no particular order. Does anybody want to start?
Yes.
Okay, you want to start, Carly. So what was one of your top three games of the last generation?
My first choice, because it's the first one I played because I came... played into the past generation because they were really expensive. But the first game that actually blew me away was Uncharted 2. And basically, it sold the PlayStation 3. And it was what the PlayStation 3 could be because it had this amazing graphics, the story was great, the characters were great, everything about it was great, and it actually made buying the PlayStation 3 at the time, because back in 2009, they still haven't gotten their shit together. It was actually something that you could say, okay, now I can buy the PlayStation 3 now. This is something that is going to make this work.
Yeah, okay, I think Uncharted was the first... Well, yeah, that was the first game I played when I got my PS3. And see, I got that only a couple years ago, so I was late coming into it as well. And, yeah, the Uncharted series, that alone really justified the, you know, getting a PS3 to me.
Yeah.
They kept them afloat. Until they got their shit together, they should really thank Naughty Dog, because without them, where would Sony and the PlayStation be right now? Because they managed to keep the PlayStation afloat until they finally got their shit together.
Yeah, I was also a late adopter for the PlayStation. I got mine in, like, late 2010 or so, maybe 2011.
Yeah.
And, well, it wasn't one of the first ones I got. It was pretty close to one of the first ones. It was pretty good. I think because I know that actually 13 was one of the first ones I picked up for. I like the combat in 13. That's why I bought 13 too. It's all of the great combat I like, none of the, you know, extreme linearity taste. So, and plus, 13, this 13 has job system. I love job system. I will buy a game with job system. There you go, Square. You've learned my one weakness.
Yes, we know you're a whore from Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah. Doesn't actually have job system. I just like the story. But I've bought 3, I've bought 5 several times. I've bought several releases of Tactics. I even like Tactics Advance, and that game is undeniably shit in many ways. It just has jobs. But anyways, so...
Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted. Definitely one of the great games and game series of last generation. Does anybody want to go with one of their ones, or I can
go? I'll go.
All right.
For me, absolutely the... As great as Uncharted is, and it is glorious, the defining game of my PlayStation 3 experience is absolutely Infamous, because it was everything I ever wanted in a game. You know, I got to be a superhero and run around a city and see all these random things going on and stop things. It was just amazing. Again, everything I've ever wanted in a game.
For me, Infamous 2 was much better.
It's amazing. Well, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's not that, you know, Infamous was itself terrible, though it definitely was very unpolished, but it was definitely a sort of just a great sort of style. It's actually one of those superhero... It's a superhero game that's done well, probably because it's not beholden to any existing continuity or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about licensed superhero properties that just... They always tend to fuck up a game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many terrible Spider-Man games there have been.
Oh, yeah. I believe me, I know. I've tried almost all of them.
But there was a really good one on PlayStation 1 back in the day.
Yeah.
I played that one.
There's good Batman games too, like the Arkham games, but most of them have been terrible.
Yeah. I think the Arkham games are actually the only good Batman games out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But there was the one Spider-Man game, what was it, it's based on the Ultimate Universe?
Oh yeah.
That one is good.
Now, for one of my best games of the last generation, I'm going to go with, it's been on two systems, the Wii and the PS3, I'm going to go with No More Heroes.
Oh yeah.
Both the gameplay was pretty good. The grinding was terrible, but it was there deliberately, and it was because Suda51 is a giant hilarious troll, and I knew that going in, so I was ready for it. I expected it. I loved it. The combat was great. The story was great. The meta references were great. So I bought that game when it was on the Wii. I bought it again for the PS3, just hoping that he'd come. I want Suda to make more games, just more games from Suda 51, and that and, you know, its sequel were excellent, excellent games that actually came out in the last generation that I, you know, would still just boot up and play just for the hell of it, a level or two, you know?
And it didn't get the respect it deserved either.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Gabe, thanks. you got a best game of the last generation?
I'm sorry, I have to keep on muting because, like, there's a bunch of cars driving down the street. Best game, last generation.
Name more than one.
Yeah. Well, I was just gonna go through and, like, you know, have us all do multiples
in a row.
Yeah, like
go in a clock.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
and then I'm in one, and then again.
Okay.
It's not like we have to do hard and fast. You can list like five if you want.
Well, actually, just the one that I was thinking of was because it's kind of just changing the way people think of sports lately. Would be League of Legends. Like, it blew up in the esports scene. It's an amazing game. Like, the World Finals sold out the Staples Center in less than 5 minutes, and you can actually get a visa now in America as an athlete to come and play League of Legends in the States for a pro team. So, I don't know, just hopefully if things keep going this way, like, maybe you could play video games and make a bunch of money in the future if it really catches on.
My brother, little brother, plays that game every single goddamn day. And all day. All fucking day he's not playing that game. I don't really like it. I've never gotten into it. But he's completely addicted to it, so they must be doing something right. And he's passionate about it, too. It's not like those... He's completely, like, screaming madly at his friends every time someone does something wrong. It to our neighbors, it probably looks like we put a crazy person.
You do. I mean, there's at least you, but I presume the rest of your family is, too.
But my mom, especially. Very passive. Doesn't speak that loud or anything. Just my brother and I are completely different.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here quiet, like, hoping you forgot about me, because...
Never!
I can't really, like, add that much to your list, because I need to, like, add some history here, because prior to 2010, I didn't really play a lot of games. It was like, I had a PlayStation 2, where I played some sports game, and me and my friend, we used to play this really dirty... lousy game, which is a follow-up to the really great Leisure Suit Larry, which was like Leisure Suit Larry college game, where we threw quarters and we drank beer while we played the game. So instead of actually playing quarters, we played quarters on the game and got drunk, yeah. So I didn't really start playing like JRPGs really until 2010, and that's when I started playing Chrono Triggers and I was introduced to the Final Fantasy games. So I'm quite new in the game.
Well, hey, PC gaming is a valid form of gaming. I'm going to defend that to the death.
Yeah, but I didn't really play PC games either.
For shame.
So I don't really have a lot to say, but I can say something about the games that I have played that I really liked.
Well,
and
just pick one of them that you thought was the best. And
yeah, I thought really the Uncharted series was really good. And I really enjoyed both the Uncharted 2 and 3. And of course, the Final Fantasy games, like the Final Fantasy 13, has meant a lot to me, because when I bought the game and put it in the PS3 and started playing it, it was like, I used to watch a lot of anime when I was younger, and it was like all of the Japanese animation and everything coming straight back to me. So that's what I really enjoyed about 13, and that's why it's been quite important to me. But okay, Uncharted series, and of course I've been playing Mass Effect, which I also enjoyed.
Which you have not finished.
I know. I'm working on it.
Yeah, and you're not the one who's mad at you. You know who's really...
I know who's mad at me for that. He's pretty... awfully mad at me, actually. But I want to bring up one more game, and that was like Gabe mentioned sports, and on the PS2 there was this game called SSX3, and they released a new SSX game for PS3, which I think they just called SSX. And I've been playing that game, and it's been quite a fun experience. They changed a lot with the controls, and a lot of it I didn't like, but the experience of sports games, really cool. Really enjoyed SSX.
What is SSX? Is that like a snowboarding?
It is a snowboarding game, yeah.
Okay.
Snowboarding
game. I thought I'd heard of it, yeah.
Remember Fangus from a country that has a lot of snow.
We don't have at the moment, and we're quite pissed about it, because it's only raining.
Yeah, that's why I have the connection.
No, but it was really funny, because me and my friend, the friend that I lived with, whom I played the quarters drinking game with, we used to play the snowboarding game in the summer. That's so stretchy. And during the winter, we would play the Legend Larry game and throw clubs and get burned.
It's bad, but the first picture I saw you, Gregor, you would look like you were about to go snowboarding. You were all in the, coat and hat and stuff. It looks
well,
cold.
Well, on topic, I have tried snowboarding once, and it's fucking impossible. It's the hardest, most nonsensical thing you will ever do in your life. I mean, scuba diving was strange, but that was fine. Snowboarding is just like, makes no sense. Makes no sense. No, it's like, does it do what your body tells it to?
You imagine that if I'm from a tropical weather, I have scuba dive, it's actually really fun, and I go to somewhere when it's snow, and I try snowboarding, and it works completely fine, and it makes no sense, because I've never been in any place with snow.
It might.
Well, first you have to deal with your shock of learning, seeing snow for the first time.
Oh, I'm going to, doing snow angels, making snowmen, throwing snow at people. It's gonna be ridiculous. Someone's gonna have to record me, because it's gonna be hilarious. I've never seen snow ever in my life.
You haven't?
Never. Never, never, never.
Yep.
Oh my god.
I've been off the island 3 times. First time was I went to New York when I was 3, but that was in the summer. Second time I went on a cruise ship in the Caribbean. Obviously there's not gonna be any snow there. And if there
is, we're all fucked.
Yeah, it's the day after tomorrow and everything's going to shed. And it wouldn't be good anyway.
Yeah, but that being said, did you hear that a few weeks ago it actually snowed in Egypt?
Yes.
Huh. Yes.
And, that will be crazy if it's not here. Especially, it's really hot right now. Third time was this summer that I went to Florida. It's not gonna snow there either. So, I wanna go in a place that snows.
But it's like, it's not really snow if it's not the kind of snow that stays. Because the weather is quite cold.
Hmm.
That's the kind of snow you want.
Yeah. When we get snow in North Carolina, and Tim can attest to this, it generally it doesn't stick. I mean, it depends on where you are.
Usually it melts before it hits the ground.
Yeah, it depends on where you are. I mean,
yeah, if you're up in the mountains, it'll stick like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
If you are anywhere...
Anywhere else. Really. It's not going.
If you are anywhere east of Statesville, it will almost never stick. If you're west of Statesville, you've got a 50-50.
Yeah,
if it sticks a little bit, that's what we call schlops. It's like we have like 150 words for snow in different kinds.
We have 150 words for the disappointment of not getting snow.
Yeah. Well, we only got
4 letters.
Yeah.
And we went really off topic.
Yes. So, back to the top 3 games, we'll go to the next round. Curly, do you want to go for another one?
Yes. My second, I'm kind of putting them in order of the time I experienced them. Second game I experienced on the PlayStation, it's a game that I, 4 years later, I cannot stop playing, that would be Dragon Age Origins. Which I almost didn't even get because when I got my PlayStation 3, it was in 2009. Because I had spent so much time away from gaming at that time, I was playing older games, I was still playing Kingdom Hearts 2, and other games, I wasn't really aware what was going on at the moment. I didn't really know what games were good, what games were bad. I knew I wanted Final Fantasy 13 when it came out, which obviously didn't turn out really well. My little brother kept insisting that I buy for Christmas Dragon Age Origins, because he wanted to play it, and I didn't really have anything else. My intention was getting it for Christmas and letting him play it. It was just this day that I was really bored. I put the game in, so I played it, and I never stopped. It's a brilliant game for me, because it was, at the time, the only role-playing games I had played were basically Final Fantasy. And the BioWare games are completely different from what Final Fantasy is. Dragon Age has a lot more different. It's not a fantasy story. It's more deconstruction. What a fantasy story is, the things you had to do, which is obvious because it takes stuff from A Song of Ice and Fire, which I noticed later when I started watching Game of Thrones, and it has a lot of that stuff from A Song on Ice and Fire there. The game is brilliant. The story, I love it so much. It's nothing you think is going to work. You really have to think when you're making decisions in the game. And they work out so well. The characters, especially the ones in your party, especially Morrigan. You know I love Claudia Black. And that was one of my first experiences with Claudia Black, playing Morrigan. She was just so perfect to me because she wasn't good, but she wasn't evil either. She was just there in the middle. And I never seen a character that was so good there in the middle that it was everything about it was perfect. I can go on for 2 hours talking about how much I love the game. The gameplay in the PlayStation version wasn't the best. It didn't have that tactical thing that they made the PC version so great. But it's still the story, the characters, the world, the quest still managed to carry the game in the PlayStation version, even though the gameplay really dumbed it down from the PC version. So the best one, if you're going to play it, if you're really interested in that tactical part of the gameplay, you should really play the PC version instead of the console version that's on the PlayStation and the Xbox. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be worth your money. It's one of those games that is definitely worth the money that you're going to pay for it. It has a lot for you to do, too.
I've never played it, but I'm gonna keep that in mind.
And it has Claudia Black, so. I'm gonna keep
it. It's also statistically improbable in that every single member of the population is bisexual.
That's more Dragon Age 2, actually.
I know, but
and they do that.
It's pretty much all the same characters, and you can be bisexual with
them. They have a lot of sex, which again, it has a song of Ice and Fire.
Oh, that's why you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have a lot of options. You have threesomes, foursomes, and they do take more risk than they do in Mass Effect. Like sometimes some of the things I see in Mass Effect games, they were before in Dragon Age, or they don't do it at all in the Mass Effect games. I think that they play it more safe with Mass Effect because it's probably more popular and it's directed at more people than the Dragon Age games are, so they take a lot more risk with the Dragon Age games than they do with the Mass Effect ones.
There's a lot of fan fiction for the Dragon Age games.
And a lot of it involves Alistair, which I can't say I particularly enjoy, but he has a huge fan base.
It's like all kinds of stuff.
I don't really look at the fanfiction for Dragon Age. It just doesn't feel like I'm cheating.
Just don't.
I feel like I would be cheating the story of the game. And the sequel wasn't good. It wasn't even close to the first one, which a lot of it involved that EA just pushed them to make the game in less than a year. Could have been such a better game.
Dragon Age 2 suffered from the same problem of no get it out that KOTOR 2 did. At least Dragon Age 2 they started with their ending so they could actually get there. KOTOR 2 was just fucked.
They just had less than a year to come up with the game. Apparently that wasn't even supposed to be the sequel. That was going to be a spin-off, but they had to then make it into the sequel because they really didn't have any time. You can see it in the game. It's just the dungeons, the inside of the building, they're just copy-paste of everything else. The story, there was a lot of potential there from the story, the things they were going to do, but they didn't have any time, so I hope now that they had 3+ years to make Dragon Age Inquisition that it's going to be more like what Dragon Age Origins was.
Glenn, what's your next one?
My next one, probably Gears of War, and specifically the second one, actually. I have a lot of good memories playing that. I think if the infrastructure for the online multiplayer had been put together better, it would have easily been one of the best online gaming experiences ever, but it ended up being all kinds of laggy. Whoever was host had an unfair advantage, but the game itself was fun as fuck. And if you got a good connection and you're playing online, man, I don't know if I've had more fun playing anything multiplayer. I don't think so. Just great, great, great game with all kinds of good stuff going for it, but some really bad execution for the online component. Could have outdone Halo, I think. They had gotten their shit together better there. It was sad because when, at the height of Gears of War 2's sales, most people who were, like, hardcore into it, and this ended up being me as well, were still playing the first one, multiplayer, just because the way they had the second one set up was so bad. So yeah, that's my entry. I loved it. It was fun. I like the characters too, and story is, you know, it's standard fare for that sort of thing, but it was good stuff. It was good stuff.
My next one, and this is another Wii game, so, you know, but I'm going to say Skyward Sword. It had some problems with padding, specifically the outside of the dungeon sequences, which were kind of unnecessary, but what I loved that they actually got all the motion controls to work and work intuitively, and specifically that they had not exactly one-to-one, but very closely mapped sword fighting moves. And that's what I've wanted for the longest time, a sword fighting game where I'm actually sword fighting, because I'd be fucking good at those. And that was just excellent all the way up to the final battle. I was enjoying myself, I was, you know, having fun. There was a little bit of tedium in the middle, but especially during the actual sword fights between Link and the villain, the main villain, and then the final boss. That was great. The only thing I could have said was to cut down on some of the repeated stuff. Like, we fought the monstrosity in the whole, like, probably one time too many. Give us a quicker fast travel system. You know, shorten the pre-dungeon dungeons, that sort of thing. But it was a really, really great game on the whole. It was a great story. And that, personally, you know, I love me a Zelda game. I love Link Between Worlds. I'm looking forward to Hyrule Warriors. Just give me more really good tricks of motion, you know, ways to sword fight. Even if you're deprecating the actual Wiimotes, just make it
an option. My only problem with that game, it wasn't really a problem with the game itself, was that by the time it came out, the Wii was basically already dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it was dead in the water, but yes, it was very near the end of its life cycle.
Well, so. That was the only reason why I didn't buy it. I waited for it. Someone lend it to my brother, and that's when I actually got to play it, but I would have bought it. It's just that it didn't seem... I didn't have a Wii. I didn't want to play the Wii anymore. So it was a great game that just... If it would have come out sooner, it would have been so much better.
Well, that's not really a mark against the game itself.
That's
a mark against, I guess, Nintendo and developers. And...
The developer for Skyward Sword says he is profoundly disappointed in himself and profusely apologetic for delaying it so long. It's literally that they basically said, what the fuck are we doing? We're doing this wrong. We have to start all over again, when it was about halfway done. And they hated the fact that they have to do that. But they would rather delay it. They'd rather do it right the first time, but they'd also rather release a delayed good product.
Nintendo really should apply that concept.
Yes. With most stuff that came out on the Wii, it's like they gave up. I mean... At first, it seemed like everybody was like, oh, motion control, let's see what we can do. And then they did a really shitty job with everything at first. And then they were like, oh, well, let's not experiment. Let's just find the simple shit that works. And, you know, and it's just going to be a gimmick that you can use if you want to, and you can ignore it if you, you know. And
you know
were
what
very
happens? That's what happens with gimmicks. At first, they're really entertaining, but after a while, if you don't do anything else with them, you're going to get tired.
Yeah, it was like they didn't want to really find what it could do once, you know, when their initial attempts were garbage.
About the time people got tired of the gimmicks, Xbox was coming out with a lot of great games, so they, at that point, they didn't have a chance with the hardcore gamers.
Yeah, I think probably the Kinect and the Move coming out as well kind of made the Wii look a little, I don't know.
Probably more the Kinect, because the Move never really did anything. It was probably better than the Kinect, but Sony didn't really sell that very well.
Right, but it made the fact that, like, if you could play, you know, Just Dance on Kinect or whatever, and you didn't have to hold that control and didn't have to hold it a particular way for it to actually read your movements, you know, it was just much...
I can tell you. I can tell you.
The Kinect...
I played Dance Central, which is the one on the Xbox, the City, and the Kinect. But years ago, it's very fun, very entertaining. If you're with a lot of friends, it's gonna be a really fun experience. Because you don't have to move the controller, it's really fun.
Hmm. Yeah, see, that's what I love, that, you know, playing the Just Dance games on the Wii, but I found that there were some songs that I could just never find the right way you were supposed to hold the mode to read your movements right. And then there were some where you held it the right way, it didn't matter what you were doing. You could just stand there or even sit down and put your feet up and just move it the particular way it wanted you to move it. And you'd be getting them, you know, perfect on everything.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock the basics of the Kinect because it's a pretty decent bit of kit. But Xbox just had, and most of the people developing for it, just had no idea what to do with it. And just the fact that they're auto-bundling it with the bones is just why. I love motion control when they're done right. I'm not going to demand that they be involved, but it's just one of the things that I've always wanted, is a proper you swing the sword, you fight the sword fighting game. So, you know, maybe we'll see it a couple years down
really
the line.
Love
who knows?
Sword fighting.
The Skyward Sword is a good game.
It is.
Yeah, I want me a Jedi sword fighting game.
Oh God, you and me both.
Yeah,
I think we all do.
Yep. Gabe, your next game?
I'm having a hard time choosing between Fallout 3 and Skyrim.
So Bethesda?
Yeah, Bethesda in general.
Okay.
I'm going to give a slight nod to Skyrim, though, because the mod community came up with Macho Man Randy Savage Dragons.
I'm not even a fan of Skyrim, and that video was awesome.
There's another mod which is actually more technically impressive. That mod's awesome, but somebody managed to figure out how to do procedurally generated body types.
Oh wow!
Yeah, in a reasonable like proportion of height, width, and chunkiness that nobody really paid much attention to because it was just technically impressive and not, you know, ridiculous Macho Man Randy Savage or OMG XXX, so, which are basically the two major types of mods you get in Bethesda games. Ridiculous and ridiculous sex. So, but no, it was actually pretty awesome. There was also in Skyrim one particular mod made by one person and a bunch of voice actors.
Oh, Falskar.
Yeah, that he literally made is basically an application to Bethesda and that got him hired.
No, he didn't get hired by Bethesda. Bungie actually picked him up, if I remember correctly.
No. But like, it got him hired into you know, programming and game design.
Yeah.
Because it was just that well done. And what the heck was that?
It makes me really sad that guy was like 18 when he made Falskar, and I'm 25, and I've done nothing that cool.
Well, you just didn't spend an entire year to doing that, or, you know, hammering away on whatever the heck you're doing right over there with Trace. And he's dedicated to that. Fang, what's your second game?
Now, when you say second game, I didn't really...
Well, just, I mean, it doesn't have to be in any order, just... another game that you thought was one of the best.
I didn't realize that this was the whole, like, mention your first game first, and then your second game after that. So I just named them all in one.
There's no order. Okay, yeah. No, that's fine. We can just go skip you, because you named them all.
Yes.
So Carly, what's your number four? Because we're going to do this in weird orders now.
Number three, actually.
No, we're going to four, then coming back to three. No, go with your number three.
Okay, now I have to skip three. Okay, my number four.
Now, actually, give me your number three.
Then you just confused me.
My work here is done. Away!
It's so many big numbers, I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
So what's the third game you were going to mention?
Okay, the next game has to be first game I played on the Xbox 360, which is the Mass Effect series. Especially Mass Effect 2, because the Mass Effect 1 gameplay wasn't really all that good, story wasn't really all that original, and everyone knows the problems with Mass Effect 3. But Mass Effect 2 is such a great, great game, just great storyline. Great characters, fantastic gameplay, probably best gameplay I've seen in BioWare games. And it's just everything about it came together. It was just this beautiful game. And it did something I hadn't seen, which is it integrated gameplay and story towards the end of the game. It's those two things came together for you to actually get the better ending. And the at that point when I was playing games and I was getting DLCs, the DLCs seemed to me like just companies making you spend more money for things that weren't really all that good. But Mass Effect 2 was the first game I played that actually had really great DLCs, especially Lair of the Shadow Broker, which was fantastic. And then there was Arrival. Those two DLCs was, okay, this is what DLCs can be. Seems like stories that actually, they make more buying. It's not actually just trying to, they throw you something just to get you to buy it. It was actually really great. And I wasn't really good with shooters up to that point. When I started playing Uncharted and I started playing Mass Effect, it works really well. And it's easier for someone who was just awful. If you could have seen me playing, when I started playing multiplayer with Uncharted and when I started playing the Mass Effect games, I was just awful. Awful, awful. I was a danger to myself. I ended up killing myself more times than other people that killed me. But the Mass Effect 2 was just, it was a perfect game. And it's just, yeah, that combination of story and gameplay just came together and was perfect. So, yeah.
Glenn?
For me, the third pick would have to be Assassin's Creed. I guess I can't really pick a particular one. Though if I had to, I'd just go with the first one. Well, yeah, the second one is amazing.
I'd go with two for being the most smoothed out without being overcomplicated myself. But
that was the first game with Ezio, and he was fantastic. And
not overused at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
By Revelations, it was that was way too much.
Right. First one kind of blew me away, though, just because. What it was.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they did a pretty good job on the first one, with the caveat that the story was ridiculous in all of them. they just sort of needed to... There were a couple of weird design decisions that they had.
Like jumping in the water and instantly dying?
Literally having to take your horse everywhere and the very sizable overworld with almost no, like, quick cutting between. Like, there was almost no purpose to the big center area between the towns.
Yeah, I mean, the second definitely streamlines some stuff.
Yeah.
It was smoother, absolutely, yeah.
And I'm saying this, and I don't actually live in Italy, so I may be completely wrong about this, but to me, they did an amazing job doing this world that you could feel like you were actually in Italy in the Renaissance period. Again, I don't live in Italy.
In the Renaissance.
Exactly. So this might be completely dead wrong. If it is, I'm sorry. Anyone listening to this that does live in Italy. But
anyone who lives in Italy and is 100 and how many years old?
Just live in it.
440.
Oh, that's the Renaissance, alright.
Specifically, the game starts in about 15...
Oh, 14.
No, you're right, so it'd be 500.
So anyone who's like 600 and somewhat years old...
Well, it's like Tom Hobbs said in Sandman, you know, they didn't know it was the Renaissance until it was over, you know, so who knows when that shit went down.
I think it's 1476.
And then she gives me an exact date. Bitch. Yep.
You know, this was
they are actually rather anal about having Ezio be involved in the death of pretty much every major player in that era.
You could sling a bat and you would hit a historical person in that game.
Yes, and it probably would have been Leonardo da Vinci, and then you would have apologized because, aw, Leo.
He was one of the best parts of the game, his relationship with Ezio. And Ezio was just this awesome character. He was so snarky, so charming. He was sleeping with basically everyone in Italy.
He was Tony Stark. He was Italian Renaissance Tony Stark.
But basically, I'm pretty sure you could grab someone in the present day of Italy and put them in the Animus, and they would be related to Ezio. Because
he was fucking everything, right?
Yeah. This sounds pretty interesting, actually.
In the first hour of the game, you actually had the first sex scene. And after he's finished with his brother, then they're in the tower talking about how awesome their lives are, which is a great idea when a game starts that you're bragging about how awesome your life is.
Clarification, when she says after he finishes with his brother, that's not related to the sex.
They're both humping different women. We assume they might have been humping the same one. It's not, you know, but they are in a whorehouse at the time.
He's in a whorehouse a lot, and yeah. That's one of the more funniest moments in the game. But after his mother and his are done talking, he goes to Christina.
I'm talking. Okay, that was get clear for
news. Yeah, because sorry, to clarify there.
Yeah.
He goes to Christina, which is actually a funny dialogue when he says he only needs a minute. It's like, wait, that came out wrong, and then they have sex, and you had that, you actually have to push the buttons to get her dress off and stuff. So that was really funny. Then the next morning, he doesn't leave in time, and her father catches him, and he's like, oh, this is not what it looks like, and he's running around from the car. He's like, I'm mostly innocent.
This is actually a really good tutorial to the run and hide mechanic.
Yeah,
because you had to escape them.
And it's more funny because I was laughing the whole time. They actually caught me a few times because I was laughing at the same thing. the excuses he was throwing at the cars. It's like, it's really what it looks like, dude. It's not really another way. You're naked in a bed with a girl. There's no other way to spin that. And
I'm actually a very mannish woman. No.
The fact that the game takes place throughout a long period of his life, except for the part that is random.
35 years?
30 years. 30 years.
Yeah.
I didn't
and
like
that's not including Brotherhood or Rev.
The only part I didn't like was halfway through that, when he's still 21, when he's in Venice, that it just randomly skips 16 years later.
Yeah.
Wait, what? And then you think they're going to go back to that at some point of what happened in between, because they actually tell you this too. How was the name they called it? I haven't played the game in a while. Memories. There's two memories in between that. Okay, we're going to you didn't go back to that. You had to pay for it in the DLC to actually see what happened there, which apparently got a lot of people angry.
They were pretty good sequences, because that was one of them was the flying on Da Vinci's glider sequence.
Yes.
I forget what the other one was.
Bonfire of the.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, those were good sequences. They were just kind of bullshit that they were DLC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it seemed like they were actually in the game. They just took them out for.
No, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why people were angry. I did pay.
Oh, yeah, you.
I played them, but they should have.
I didn't.
Been. I would actually swear.
They were on disc DLC.
I would actually swear, though, that before the game was even released, there was stuff talking about the glider, and there was no implication that you had to pay for that shit.
Yeah, no, that was basically a last-minute addition, I think.
Oh.
Which is fun, but again, having to pay for it sours the experience. And it had an interesting ending, and you reach Minerva, and then suddenly she starts talking to what looks like she's talking to the player, but she's actually talking to Edmund.
Is there really a difference? I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, for that portion between Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, he actually... For a moment, a brief moment, he was actually growing into his own character, and then it all went back to being completely pointless.
Yep.
At least we had those two games, Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, but actually it seemed to have a balance between the storyline actually inside the Animus and the storyline in the person wasn't completely pointless. But by the time Revelations came out in Assassin's Creed 3, it didn't really matter anymore. It went back to Assassin's Creed 1 when the only thing that mattered was what was happening inside the Animus.
Great.
Okay, so...
Yeah, any more, Tim?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to say Dishonored.
Didn't play.
It's not a incredibly complicated story. It's a good story, but it's not complicated. Folks killed the Empress of the land you're in and kidnapped the heir to the throne. Are you a bad enough dude to rescue her and get revenge on the people who brought, you know, who killed the royal family?
The answer is
brave too.
Yes, but it's a stealth game. I love stealth games. It's a game where you can play it either way. You can play it full stealth, or you can try and go aggro. I don't recommend it, but you can also play lethal and non-lethal. And like with the Mass Effect story and gameplay integration, the way you play the game has a there's only two options, more or less, but there's the way that you play. If you play high kill, high chaos, that affects the way that the game ends. And if you play it low chaos, like, you get a completely different ending, basically. And so I just like that. I also love the challenge of trying to do game no kill, no detection, because that's how you play stealth games, in my opinion. But there's also an achievement called Mostly Flesh and Steel. And so this is a stealth game where you can get superpowers. One of them is given to you at the start of the game. The only Flesh and Steel mode is... that's the only one you will ever use, and you will never upgrade it. And this is an entirely valid and possible way to beat the game.
Ooh.
Yeah. And what I also did was I tried to go for basically every side quest I could while also fulfilling the no kill, no detection, mostly flesh and steel. I can't tell you how many times I reloaded some sections to have to do them perfectly. Because, like, there's literally this one section where you have to come... you know, sneak up behind people who are banging on the door of the house that you're currently in, get behind them, then take all three of them out non-lethally without any of them realizing, you know, that you're around. Like, they can realize that something's happening to them, but they have no idea where you're doing it. And it takes forever to do, but when it's you do it perfect, it's so good, and I just want to see stealth games like that happen more.
Sounds good.
Gabe, you got a last one, or?
I guess I'll just throw out, like, maybe, like, the Ratchet and Clank games for the PS3. Those are always just really funny and fun games to have.
That is true.
And I think they're probably, like, the only platformer games that have come out in, like, the last, what, 5-10 years? It's a pretty dead genre of games.
Yeah, they really feel like they belong to a different generation.
I mean, they're not exactly dead, it's just that they're sort of combined with other things or they're indie titles.
Mm.
That's sort of like the one of the, you know, I mean, because there's also the Little Big Planet, which is undoubtedly a platformer. But there's few that are sort of, I don't want to say serious, but, you know, straightforward, just straight up, you know, this is a platformer with a plot that aren't indie games. So let's go on to...
Oh, we're not done.
We'll just go one quick game of the year from everybody.
Oh, I still had to, like, two more games to mention.
Oh, God.
Well, do that real quick. Do that real quick.
Okay, actually, yeah. Three, but I'll mention it quick. Number one, which was mentioned before, Arkham City.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Really, great. And...
that was amazing.
I actually liked it a lot better than the Dark Knight movies, which I love, especially the Dark Knight, but I thought Arkham City, to me, the best game about superheroes. It's just all, every character in the game. They were all, the characterization was great, the story was great, the gameplay was great, the world was great, the voice acting was great, especially to me, Grady Lyle as Catwoman. She should be the only person voicing Catwoman from now on because she was perfect. I mean, Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy, in the game, I was a big fan of Batman the Animated Series growing up, having them in Arkham City, which is nerd Gotham for me because I love the Batman the Animated Series. Having Tara Strong voicing Harley Quinn was also fantastic. So after that, Portal 2. Fucking love that game. I just love it so much. It's so different from anything else.
And I haven't played the second one.
It's so good. And especially, we have a character like Gladys. She's so snarky and it's so funny and very darkly comical, and the game is another thing that you really have to think on, which is not really like most of the games out there. It's really good, it's really different, and it's fantastic. And the final game, which to me, it's not my favorite game, but to me it's probably the best game in the last generation, would be BioShock, the first one.
That was good shit, yeah.
By the time I played it, I didn't really understand why people loved it so much. And then I actually got to play it, and I just, wow, it blew me away. And
the setting draws you in.
Yeah, and that kind of games, like horror type, survival type, and all that wasn't before the types of games I liked. But the setting, like you said, Rapture, that alone was incredible. It sucks you in, even if that's not the type of games that you like to play. You sit down and you start playing it, you get so immersed in Rapture and the story, and you look at the clock and it's 10 hours later. It was brilliant.
Yeah, that is Bioshock actually slipped my mind. If I had been thinking, I would have put that in over Assassin's Creed. Oh well. At least you brought it up.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job with the game, and that dystopian type, it was thumbs up, really. It was fantastic.
All right, for Game of the Year.
Yep, Game of the Year. One each, because we're heading up pretty close, but we'll start with you again, Carly.
With me?
We're getting you out of the way, because you talk a lot.
Yes. I'm Hispanic. I'm Puerto Rican. That comes with us. When the year started, I have a pretty good idea that there was probably going to be The Last of Us. And I thought the only competition it was going to have was Bioshock Infinite and Grand Theft Auto 5. And Bioshock Infinite, it was great, but it's just, there was something missing in that game. And Grand Theft Auto 5, a lot better than Grand Theft Auto 4, but there's something about the game, it just really pushes you, like, when trying to send you a message, they just really tell you, and a lot, like, when they're talking bad about... Exactly. When they're talking bad about millennials, they hit you in the head with it so many times, and you're like, okay, I get it. You think we're lazy, and we don't go out to get jobs, and we play too much video games, which is funny, because you are a video game, but... Yeah, it was still The Last of Us. And again, I don't really like survival horror-type games. And wow, it just is... I'm not going to put it above Uncharted 2, because Uncharted 2 is my favorite Naughty Dog game. But they did a brilliant job with that one. The characters, and I don't know if anyone has played the game and doesn't want to hear it. Spoilers.
Yeah, don't do that, no.
Okay, so just saying that the way the story plays out, when it reaches the end, you're like, holy fucking shit. And it's, what they did is something really extremely hard to do, and they did it so well. Anyone has played the game, I think Rio has, would know what I'm talking about. And by the ending, when the game ends, it makes you think a lot about what happened. And you're like, wow, this is fantastic. Ashley Johnson, Ellie, she was spectacular. I would play a sequel. They can get my money right now. Make a sequel with her as the protagonist. Because I love Joel, but she was fantastic. And usually when you have a game, when you have a girl in one of those survival games, they're usually in the way instead of helping you. But she made the game better. And she starts growing even more as a better character once the game goes on and on and on. And by the end of it, she has grown into her own character that she can carry the game by herself. And the way they played out the gameplay, getting all the stuff you need to try to survive, like making those bombs with fire, using that survival things in the gameplay, it was really great. The game is really brilliant, and I can't wait to play the first DLC.
Yeah, isn't that going to be based on her friend? Her
story? Yeah.
Yeah.
And how she got bitten. She mentioned to Joel when they're running away from the city, she tells him how she got bitten, her friend, and that. So we're actually going to see that. And they actually show that, I think, in a comic, a Dark Horse comic. Did they show what happened or something like that? I haven't read it yet. I really should. But yeah, the DLC is showing that her and her friend, how and where the incident happened.
I'm not quite sure what my game of the year would be. Because it's technically, let's see, I've been playing a lot of older games. I didn't actually play much from this year. I mean, I played a couple of games. I played Resident Evil 6. It's hard to say what my game of the year would be.
Pokemon?
No, actually. I mean, I like Pokemon. I might give it to A Link Between Worlds, but I could also give it to... I mean, if I was only giving it to part of a game, I could give it to, like, the first 75% of Bioshock Infinite before it became utterly terrible.
Which point would you say that it became utterly terrible?
Keeping the spoilers as low as I can, the moment when the blood went on the face. Right after that was when the entire thing sort of lost its thread for me, and then I just could not give a crap about the ending. It's not that, you know, you couldn't see it coming, it's just that you couldn't care.
Yeah, it had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I think, really figured out what the spoiler was. It, actually, that's a lie. I read it before I played the game.
Yeah.
But playing the game, it didn't seem... It seemed kind of obvious after a while.
I mean, it's... I don't want to say, like, I didn't see it coming, but it's just because I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't care enough to think about it. It was completely obvious in retrospect to the point where it wasn't even surprising. It was just sort of an, oh, right, yeah, let's get this done with. This has got to be the final part. But I might say, because a lot of games that I really played technically came out, like, the end of last year or were, you know, released right at the end of last year. I'm trying to think again. I think... Did Persona 4, no, Persona 4 Arena came out last year. I'm just going to give it to A Link Between Worlds. It was an excellent sequel and homage to A Link to the Past. It was a great holdover between, you know, the last major Zelda game. And it was, you know, it held up well on its own. They could have done more with the non-linearity of dungeons, but oh well. Fangu, what was your game of the year?
Yeah, she might be gone.
All right, Gabe?
I haven't had a console for the last year, and unfortunately all of the good games are pretty much console exclusive. So I'm just gonna toss out probably worst game of the year, in my opinion.
Well, you could give us a PC game that you played that you liked.
I haven't played that many PC games either. I just played a lot of BF3 and League of Legends, and that's about it.
Fair enough.
So I'll just say worst game of this last year, maybe SimCity one.
Oh, yeah. A disaster.
The only thing I can think of.
And I can throw in one that wasn't really all that good, but considering who made it, it wasn't really all that surprising. Then it's a good thing that Tress is not here right now, even though he said he's trying to get back in the call. Beyond Two Souls. Complete disappointment. And
was it?
This to me, it's Quantic Dream, and honestly, if I had to vote the worst game of the previous generation, it will probably be Heavy Rain. Because
I don't see how you can call it a disappointment, though, because it's Quantic Dream.
Exactly. So I come to expect that from them. But
yeah.
all the stuff they said about Heavy Rain, how it was going to change the way people game, and all that stuff, and the game was awful, honestly. It was so self-indulgent. It was bad.
Yeah.
The only good thing I would say... It had pretty graphics. The spoiler was kind of interesting, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, let's go, and since Glenn is having issues, we could just finish this up or keep going. But if we do, well, let's just go on for what we're looking forward to in the next year.
Yeah. The consoles and games that you're looking forward for the next year.
So... What I'm looking forward to, a lot of it's actually on the Wii U, so I have not actually counted that console out. I'm looking forward to, because I love WayForward games, and they're releasing a Shantae game for the Wii U next year, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to Super Smash Bros. And because this gets into my love for tactics-based games, and I think that's the fifth genre I've expressed my love for this podcast, SMT Cross FE.
I don't really know what that is.
Shin Megami Tensei or the Persona series mixed with Fire Emblem.
Now I know.
And I expect that to be a glorious tactical experience. So.
And with the Wii U, unlike the Wii, because the Wii, if we're going by terms of how many consoles is sold, it won the console generations. But if we're going to which one is actually was the better console, even though my favorite was the PlayStation 3, it would have to be the Xbox 360, because from start to finish, it had a more consistent run. To me, had the better games in the console, even though some of their better games eventually were ported to the PlayStation 3. But with the Wii U, it's very, very soon it's going to lose its lead to the PlayStation 4 and then the X-Bone.
Yeah, no, I think it's, unless they get, like, a couple of huge system sellers like Smash Bros., they're probably going to just lose the console generation.
Yeah, because
I think they're definitely going to learn from it no matter what. I don't think they're going to die out. A lot of people are expecting it to die out.
No, they're not going to die out because one, the 3DS is really strong.
Oh no, not even Nintendo dying out. People are just expecting like Nintendo to just sort of quietly discontinue the Wii U. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I think like I said, it's going to lose the lead it has because it's in the last year that since it came out, it sold 3 million copies, and the PlayStation 4 sold 1 million in North America alone in 24 hours. So
yeah.
I think it's now up to 2. It's gonna soon lose it to both the Xbox and the PlayStation 4. But to me, it's still going to, at least I hope, keep a solid stand that it's not gonna be abysmal and it's not gonna be all that relevant, but I hope that the games that are gonna come out is gonna keep that there, at least, going.
Yeah, and there are a couple people who've announced projects that look like they should be interesting and at least a good use of, you know, the tablet technology, so I'm looking forward to that. But basically, what they do need is a couple of, like, good system seller party games like Smash Bros. And Mario Kart, and both of those are coming out next year, so we'll see how the game changes.
I just want a really good 3D Mario game that was as good as Sunshine or Galaxy.
You have that. Super Mario 3D World just came out, actually.
Did it? I thought that was, like, 2D-ish.
No. No, you might be thinking of 3D Land for the 3DS.
Okay.
The one for Wii U is proper 3D.
Well then, I should buy a Wii U then.
To me, what I'm looking forward to, one, is the new consoles. Honestly, I don't have any interest in the Wii U, so basically the Xbox and the PlayStation 4. See how they're going to evolve in the next year. Because the PlayStation 4, it has a lot of potential, but it doesn't have really anything going on at the moment. Really, the only good game on it is an indie game, which is Resogun. So we haven't seen yet what the console can do. So, not 2014, there's supposedly a lot of great games coming out. They're going to use what this next generation is supposed, all this new stuff the next generation is supposed to bring us. So, I don't think the Xbox is dead and is going to lose the PlayStation 4 because they can get their shit together, and I hope they do. Because when you have competition, it works better because there's a lot more, people do stuff better when they have competition than when they don't have one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 were dead on, I started seeing more, better stuff coming out and both of them making, better attempts at giving, gamers, better, products. And I hope that goes on now in this generation. I think the PlayStation 4 is a better console, but Xbox has a few, has some really good games that are exclusive. And bar their stupidity presenting their console, which was just abysmal, the console really wasn't all that awful. So there's potential there.
But then they just kind of muck it all up by putting paywalls and microtransactions in their games. So.
Yeah.
Their PR has been just terrible.
Not just their PR, like their methods of distributions, their decisions, the microtransactions, which all told, I over doubled the cost of the game, like with Forza.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I haven't even played Forza. I've just heard about that secondhand, but like some of the cars cost the equivalent of $30 real.
Yep.
And there's no reasonable way to get that. You know, the points in game.
You have to just grind it out and keep playing just to get one car or about $30. It's terrible. I understand if it's in a game that's free, but like I was saying on the forums, it's a $60 game. You shouldn't have microtransactions in a game you already paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this seems like this is where gaming is heading.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just bad. We games. The first quarter of 2014, there's a lot of great games coming out. There's The Witcher 3, which I really want to play. Watch Dogs, which was supposed to come out in now on launch, which was why I was getting the PlayStation 4 on launch to play Watch Dogs. And then month before the console, when everyone had pre-ordered the console, that pissed the fuck out of me. So I want to play the game already. And The Division, games really looks exciting, and that open world, the online RPG, the graphics look great. I'm really interested in playing it. I really hope it's great. Destiny.
Yeah, and they're not being held down by Microsoft anymore, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put their all in it.
Yeah, hopefully that game is great. And my, I don't know, I'm not sure if the next Uncharted game is coming out next year, so we'll have to see about that. And the game that I'm looking forward the most is obviously Dragon Age Inquisition. It's been 3 years, I need a Dragon Age game. And every time I look at something, I really shouldn't be looking at stuff about Dragon Age Inquisition because it just makes me more anxious to play the game. Because everything was beautiful and it looks like it's going back on track. And I just want it to be October, November, whenever it is that game is coming out. I want to play it now. And Morrigan is coming back and I just want to play that game now.
All I want for Next Generation is one of two things. It's either for Spyro the Dragon to come back or for Naughty Dog to make a kart racing game of Uncharted called Uncharted.
That would be really fun.
Uncarded racing would just be amazing. That's it. That's all I care about.
Gabe is a simple man.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything else I'm looking forward to in the next year. Well, Mighty No. 9, though I think that's slated for 2015. Early 2015.
We forgot one. That's probably not going to come out next year. Final Fantasy 15.
Ah. Yeah, I wasn't even expecting it. Or KH13, or KH3. KH13, yeah. We're going to get that before KH3.
The saga of Final Fantasy 15.
Half-Life 3.
You'll get Half-Life 4 before you get Half-Life 3.
Half-Life 2 and a half.
They don't make the
Half-Life 33 and a third.
They don't like the number 3.
Yeah, so they have an allergic reaction to it over at Valve.
Yeah, they have something. It's that number now. I would really love to play Half-Life 3. I haven't played either 1 or 2, but I've seen the places that they're fantastic games, so I would like to see Half-Life 3. Or Portal 3. If we're going to do that number 3, I want to play Portal 3.
Maybe they can adopt Microsoft's naming scheme and, you know, just like, you know, like Portal 1.
Yeah, that's like a great loophole to ignore the number 3.
Well, make it Portal XP, then Portal Millennium, and...
Yeah, that's the one.
Whatever gets me another Portal game, I'm up for it. Yes. Because I love Portal.
Yeah, do what you gotta do, Valve. We don't care about the name. Just make another one.
The last thing I'm looking for is, because E3 was what is now going to be last year. It was fantastic. It was exciting. It's been a long time since E3 had been that exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing E3 2014, seeing a new trailer for a new game, possibly seeing a trailer for the next Uncharted game, possibly a more concrete Kingdom Hearts 3, which I still believe I'll probably play it 10 years from now. When the game is in my hands, then I'll believe.
That it's coming out 1 year, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you have it, you'll believe it'll come out in another year.
And I'm pretty close to starting to believe the same thing for Final Fantasy 15.
Well, we've already had that one coming out for, you know, over half a decade now.
Oh, yeah, it's coming out soon.
Yeah, they've had over, you know. But yeah, I think that's everything. Anybody else want to add anything real quick?
Tress is not here.
Yeah, no. It sucks that he can't connect, so...
That seems to be he can never make it to the end.
He can never finish one of these. He always blows his wad early.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel sorry for the ladies in his life and the force.
I hope that 2014 is a great year for gaming.
I hope that in 2014, Trace will be able to finish off one of these podcasts.
Yep, awesome.
Any final words, Gabe?
Just want to drive it in that I really want Spyro and Uncharted to be a thing in 2014.
Okay. Well, it's always possible. We could get Shenmue 3.
And I would like to say to Naughty Dog that please, please, the next Uncharted game, please have a Laura Chloe in it. I would pay, I would buy a special edition, I'll pay anything, just give me more Chloe.
Yes, so that's an Chloe Charted saving.
Yes. Yeah. She will buy 80 copies. Chloe Charted.
Yep.
But yep, so I think that's everything. So I guess we can call it a night. This is Tim, a.k.a. Ryushikaze, joining me tonight. We're Carly, Fangu, Gabe, and for most of it anyways, Trays. So thanks for joining us, everybody.
Bye-bye.
The snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation. And it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know.
I think, Carly, you're echoing. Plug your headphones in.
They're in!
Okay, then rip your microphone out.
Turn the volume down.
This is a headphone with a microphone. It's not the computer's microphone.
Okay, then rip the computer microphone out.
It doesn't have one.
Alright.
It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. And once controlled me, can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break the loop. No right, no wrong, no rules for me.
Whatever the hell you're doing, stop. You're making an incredible amount of noise.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, don't move the microphone against your beard. Stop nuzzling us.
Sorry, I was adjusting where I was sitting. Yeah. I have a laptop.
Yeah, just stay there completely while I'm moving.